Let's continue study the miracle, series of miracle that what Elisha, what he helped to perform for the glory of God. Now let's turn to first, Second King. Second King chapter 4. Second King chapter 4 verse 38. Did we do this one? No. Huh? Oh, resurrection. Oh, okay. So we did which one we finish? Oh, we didn't do the woman's. They have having a baby. Okay. Sorry. Didn't have to come here. We'll continue this Shunammite woman. No matter what our lifestyle is changed, the situation, our society changed, we should not change. Many times we are easily influenced by the world out there. Well, world change and concept is changed, the lifestyle is changed, then we change because we like to follow them. But the Christians, we have our own guidelines. We should not be changed. It's okay, you can change your clothes to the same style or the worldly, but it's good to wear like a conservative way so that last time that when I attended the Ari teacher seminar, I'm sure because most of you here are Ari teacher, qualified Ari teachers. When we stand in front of students, we should put the words somehow conservative way. It's that way we showing that our prudent outfit so that people can see that it's better, you know, can more reliable a person. Also for us, our mentality is very different. When we wear some conservative clothes, it's much different than when we wear a short, which is too short. The Shunammite woman, this woman is has a lot of money. I'm sure because her husband has a lot of money, so she's the also. But her surround circumstance cannot change her, which cannot corrupt her. Even out there, all the people, they worship the idol. But this woman knows that God is the one, a true God. So she even can serve that the man of God, Elisha, to help him to provide a room for him. This is a great virtue. We should learn from her. When Solomon, when he became a king of the nations, at the beginning he was a very good, very humble-minded king. He doesn't know what to do, how he can handle all the people. So after 1,000 burnt offering to God, and God showed up to him on his dream. And God asked him, what do you need? He asked for the wisdom, because I don't know how to handle this all the people, so I need a wisdom. So God gave him a wisdom, and then plus a material blessing in his hands. So we need such way of attitude, the humble heart to ready to serve other people. Then God is there to look at us, to give us blessing in our life, what we need. Let's go on to the next one. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 17 to 17 to 25 from sister side. Any volunteer? Here, thank you. Can you difference here husband and wife reactions? Don't be the brother side. Don't be husband like here, like this way. Really, passive way approach that when even his own son died, but his reaction is. So, very unfaithful way, also very irresponsible way to react. But the woman, this woman, the Sunamite woman is different. Everything is very, there's on purpose and also very quick to move on. And she know this son is the one, the gift, a precious present to receive from God. So, she has a heart, she has a faith. Man of God can do something for her son. So she put her son to where? Where is it? Where is it that says? The verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed on the man of God. Why do you think she put her son on the bed of the man of God? Because she want to call the man of God to raise her, raise his son from the death. So she, this is only hope for her. She also believed that since that God gave her this precious son, God do not take her son away from her. A kind of a faith she has. So each action, very promptly, she jumped in to do it, to see the man of God. So verse 25, she met a man of God and then asked for help. So the man of God came to her place to raise her a son from the death. Yeah.
Why was it that Elijah gave her a son when she didn't want a son?
Oh, she didn't want a son. Everybody get that? Huh? What he asked is, she doesn't want to send, but the man of God allow her to have a son, and then why the man of God give her allow her to have a son, is that
yeah.
kind of even though she doesn't want it. Because if you look, you read the content, it's not that she doesn't want it, but she content her life, that we're given life. Even though it doesn't have children, but just content based on her situation, her life at that time. So that also another virtue that she has, that she know how to content herself. That's a very a precious a virtue that we also should have that. But man of God knew that she wants to have a children. Do you think so?
I think that like it's kind of like sometimes like when we ask God for something, like we don't know what's best for us, we just ask God to give us what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And like she did not like say she wanted a son.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the society that, you know, everyone wanted a son, but God gave her what she needed.
Mm-hmm. Because all time, I think if the woman doesn't have a son, that means, what is it? Is it considered shameful at that time, right? All time, ancient time. I think that she, although she's rich, she has everything, but one thing is missing, that this one really, I think, quite stress on her life, kind of bothers her life. So the man of God get the sense. By God, I think, so that she felt that she needed the child for remove this shame away from her. So I think this is one of the best gift for her for having a son. But then this son died. This is also the part of a testing of her faith. But later on, she dashed to the man of God, brought him to ask for help, and the son resurrected from the death. And here also, you look at the when Elijah came to his bed, can see that the son died, and he closed the door, and then she prayed to God. How many times he prayed? Seven times. Do you remember the previous one, the Elijah? Also, the raised the son from the death. The Zarephath, the widow that has a son, but that son also dead. At that time, how many times Elijah prayed? Mm-hmm. So yeah, this time how many times? Two times? Let's read verse 32 to 37 from brother side. Here says what this boy did seven times. How many times he prayed for him to raise from the dead? 2 times, right? Yeah. God is a living God. God is the only one can control our life, death and alive. We believe in God. God is a living God. God is Almighty God. So truly that on the last day, we'll be resurrected from the death. Because this is our belief. And since we believe that we can dedicate everything to the Lord. Death is actually the passing by things that just in our life. It's not a big deal. At the same time here, even the baby die, can die, and we can die any moment too. So we have to think about our death. Always we have to think about our death, so we can prepare ourselves. So too young and too healthy to think about death, but we have to think about death. Next one, and 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. From sister side. Thank you. Where this miracle instance happened? Gilgal, right? What the Elisha performed the first miracle? Jordan. What he performed after that? Jericho. How about the next one? Jericho, and do you remember after that Jericho? Bethel. Is it right? Bethel? And then where? Gilgal. Is that kind of backwards? When Elijah they came to Jordan River the other way, and now it go back to the way. Anyway. Lesson to Ezekiel chapter 14. There's no meaning, just I think it's backwards. So. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21. For thus say the Lord, Lord God, Ezekiel 14, 21. For thus say the Lord God, how much more when I send my... my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, salt, a famine, the wild beasts and plague to cut off men and beasts from it. I think it's a famine and also drought. It's one of the severe punishment to Israel. So when we look at the 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, the people, they suffer because of what? Why people suffered? Because of no rains. And it's like the daily events. There's a famine in the land, and sometimes there's a drought and no rain, and kind of, and also the enemy came to attack them. So this is like a life, the routines. which is suffer a lot their life. There's no joy, no security, because they do not rely on God. They do not worship in the Lord only. In our life, we encounter many difficulties. Why? Because our heart, our minds, kind of spread around in these manners, spiritually, so that we encounter many difficulties. And then we have to go back to think about deeply, and then we have to reflect ourselves. What is the problem with us? And then we have to correct this one, not the surface one I mentioned before. And here the 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38 to 41, at this time, I think at that time there's not much of food. So the all the servants of Elisha, they gather these kind of plants and in the field, I think. They gather together, make a large pot and boil the stew for them for their meal. And what happened is in that what is the name of this a plant? Anybody here? Just mine says the wild vine and the gather from it. Any study Bible says any specific this plant? No, right? The Korean has some sort, kind of a little confused. Anyway, I think there. Some kind of squash. But this is a poisonous one. So that's why they realize after they tasted. Our generation, we receive many knowledge out there and philosophy out there, and we should not take it everything. So there is many poison out there. As a Christian, we have to filtering what is the best for us, what is good for us. Otherwise, we should not take it. But many times when we take it, then we realize there is a poison. And how we can cleanse ourselves this poison. How here did their actions here? What the man of God asked them to do it? Flowers. Flour is making the, my version says it's a bread. And verse 40, I don't know yours, so it's kind of flour means it's making the bread. The flour can be possibly, we can say this is the word of God. I do not trying to interpret, but I'm trying to figure that I myself, what we can learn out of this reflection of this this instance, this miracle. So when we receive such kind of the poisonous information, that when we take it, we have to cleanse ourselves. Until we take it, we do not know. But once we take it, then we have to cleanse ourselves through the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God, is the one, the only way can cleanse ourselves, to purify ourselves. And when you watch a TV, when the image, you know, when you watch a TV, the image, it goes so long, actually. You're supposed not to watch, but you watch it, and then once that image input in your brain, it goes very long. Especially when you're using, you know, use your internet, and you do not filtering. You do not have enough power, and then you go through sometimes, and then the image come onto your mind, then you cannot pray well, definitely. And also it bothers your daily life. So then you have to pray and go back to Bible, so cleanse yourself. And that's the way we can purify ourselves away from the poisonous things from the Word. I learned a great one. This is shared the Philippians chapter 4. This is our reading system, it says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Brother side, anybody? Read for us. 8 and 9.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
So I can say that when you listen to music, or when you read an article, when you read like a magazines, when you look at the internet, when you watch movie and TV, maybe this is a good grading system that you can take it as a Christian. If this is this system, anything that appropriate or according to the here and in this category, we can say it's okay. Yeah, you know how you can judge yourself if the Bible gives us this much information. But many times that our sensual or the, our desire was pulling us, it's okay. You know, if it's especially nobody there, then that is a great temptation. And I hope we can handle well each time so that we can overcome. Do not take the poison that become like the obstacle between God and us. Sometimes our weakness we cannot overcome. Once you commit, then repent right away. Do not put this one to take too long with you. It really bothers that your face. So repent right away. That's where you can recover your face back to normal. Let's turn to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Chapter 8 verse 11. Behold, days are coming, declare the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or the thirst for water, but rather for hearing the word of the Lord. So nowadays a different famine, I guess. The old time there is a physical famine to attack the land, but nowadays the famine is not for bread or anything, the physical things, but the spiritual things. We should stay with the Lord. That this famine, a spiritual famine, not to attack our life. So that's we can be careful ourselves. The next one, this miracle it's the one that very similar like when Jesus performed with the. Let's turn to go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4 verse 42 to 44 from brother side then this time. So this miracle is a similar like Jesus performed. Only difference is the scale difference. Jesus feed the 5,000 plus and children and women with five bread and two fishes. Here with the 20 bread feed 100 people. But even though scale is a difference, but the miracle itself is very similar what that one's. When I look at these 42, there's one man came from Baal, the Shalishas, brought a man of God, bread of the first fruit. This man is really the man who fear God and also the who believe in God, I think, and also know the scripture quite well. Because when the first, here says, he brought to God, man of God, the bread of the first fruits. So he made 20 lobs of barley and fresh ears of the grain in his sacks. So he put this first, the agriculture that he brought this to, produced one, brought this to the man of God. It's really amazing that he, such kind of condition that in Israel, such man still is there. So this is, of course it's not many at that time, but we can tell this man is truly be blessed by God. Nowadays, I think we can offer to God our tithes to the Lord. When you are in the real world, many of you already in the real world. When you earn the money, when you offer the tithe, it's not easy actually. You especially the tithe, you have to think about it after tax or before tax. That's a lot of difference. So if you're quite smart enough, then you usually after tax. So that's you can. So you legally you can deduct and then you can offer to God. Still you can say I offered, you know, tithe. So, but you think about a tithe is not a. You logically you think, you have to. Can you offer the after tax or before tax? Which one is right in the sight of God? From your conscience, before tax. So, since you think that before tax, then offer your tithe before tax. That'd be good. How I learned that the offer, the tithe, is from my father. When he earned the money, then he brought the envelope, and then asked me and mother. It was a simple family. My sister already gone. So we gather together, we pray first. Thank God. God give him a healthy body to earn this money. And then he take out the money and then deduct the 1/10 first all the time. In front of me and my mom. So that this is how I learned from my parents. So every time when you get something, then cut the 1/3. Do not think about this is my money. If you think this is my money, then you can kind of you deduct all the payments one by one, pum pum pum, and left over. It's not enough to tithe to pay over to God. Yeah, next month that'll be okay. And then once you practice in this manner, later on, there's no chance you can pay an offer to God, complete a tithe to the Lord. So best way, get the money, 1/10. Now that you don't have to count the money, you just write a check. Write a check right away and put it in the offering box. And this is God's money. I don't, because this is just completely cut away, because it's not my money. That way, your idea, if you have put that way, then God will truly bless you. Because you know how much you respect God. Because think about in our daily life, how much we blessed from God. God give us a wonderful, healthy bodies, and give us He allows us to come to the United States, receive all this, the education, and He allow us the wonderful job. If still we cannot offer to God for the 1/10, and this is not the right attitude in the sight of God. At least we have to pay that much of 1/10 of the money. At least we have to offer to God. Of course, we have to offer more than that at least. But then this is based upon your faith and my faith. Let's look at the Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Later on, when you start earning the money from your work, trying to put some of your money to help somebody, that's really helpful to edify your faith. If you paid off your debt, and especially your credit card, and then at least you can put some of the money to helping other people. That really helps you to edify your faith. At the same time, you can learn, you can appreciate the receiving, you know, the love from God. And once you help somebody, definitely it returns back to you later on, more than double portion coming back to you as a blessing. And here this man brought this 20 bread, but it helps 100 people. He never expected these 20 bread can spread to feed 100 people and even the leftover, you know, later on. So this is the power of God. So when you help with the $20, help somebody, then it come back to you. Also think about those people who need, if you help them, how much they can help you because of the little money that you with your money to help them. So I hope that our church youth arms to the need, people who need, that also gives us a great blessing from God. The next one, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse from 1. This is a long, but okay, I'd like to read chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected. Because by him the Lord had given a victory to Aram, the man was also a warrior, but he was a leper. We already explained this one, this instance beforehand. But the leprosy, do you know, it really, have you seen anybody here to see the person who with the leprosy? You have seen that? Yeah. Huh? You have seen that? What?
India.
Oh, India. Oh, I see. When I was in Korea, I have seen them. That at that time there was very close to our house. There's own facility, and that time I was very early age, because it's first and second grade. I didn't know what it is, but later I find out that's a leprosy. It's scary actually if you look at the person really the spread around, you know, leprosy, the body. And eyes and nose and, you know, the hand, it really it's quite miserable illness. It cannot be healed also. So what happened later on, the government, they decided to put all these people put in the countryside locations. So which is with there's nobody can reach there, So they cannot get out, just freely. They need a permission when they get out, like this way. Really pitiful illness. This is really sad. Those who has this kind of a illness, and also this one have no cure actually. So this Naaman is the one has this kind of disease. So I'm sure because Naaman has no peace and no joy, no matter how his high position, no matter how powerful man and he is, but I don't think he has any peace and no joy. But then there's a little girl, and she came to her the wife, and then give a hint. Well, verse 3 says, I wish that my master were with a prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. This is a little girl's courage that helps him to be cured his leprosy. I wonder because this little girl even say these words, but the wife of the Naaman listened. I'm sure because this lady was very small girl, is very faithful to the master, and also very trustworthy woman. That's why they listened to her voice, I think. And later on, he journeyed the Naaman and came to the land of Samaria and trying to meet Elisha. His way come to see the man of God is not yet he repent in the sight of God. And also, he didn't, he has with a full of pride when he come to see the man of God. Everything in his way, he's the one is the center of the, what do you call them? He's the center of this event, actually. He thought. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, when you come to church, usually the beginner, I mean newcomers, many of the newcomers, what happened is turn out to be, they are the figure, they turn out to be center of themselves. And if anybody thinks it happened, then it's because of discourage them, they encourage them because of the other people, because they are the center in their minds. But if we grow up ourselves, if we more mature ourselves, we do not become a center of our story. We become like a side, what do you call it? We are the one who like a background, something like that, which is a little different. Yeah. And when this Naaman came to meet the Elisha, he brought his army. So he want to prove that he's a very important person, and he's the really powerful man in the sight of God. And on the story, is that Elisha came up to meet him? No, he didn't meet him. What he say to the Naaman? I'll read verse 9 and 10. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. You can tell this is a situation. Naaman with all of chariots and all the army with him and stood at the doorway of the house of Elijah. He expected Elijah, when all the people come out, maybe bow down to him, maybe. 10. And Elisha sent the messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be cleansed. Even he didn't come up, but he sent the messenger, only talked to him, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and then your flesh will be restored. Verse 11 is its reactions. And Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and cure the lepers. You can tell here the Naaman already had his own idea. Occupied in his mind is already occupied by his own way, the man of God will cure his disease. So he's the master, he's the center and figure. So he already has his own formula to bring this to the man of God. But man of God is deal with the very different ways. First, the man of God tests his humility. So can you truly yourself to be humble in the sight of God? So when we bring up something, do not attitude as like a Naaman's. We don't have to show up anything to God. Actually, we are nothing in the sight of God. No matter who we are, even in the presence of USA, doesn't matter, it's nothing. We are all the same, just like a sinful man. So when we come up to God, we just ourselves, with a humble heart, to go and kneel down. That way we can get something out of God. Later what happened is the servant talked to him. Which verse is it? Because he wanted to return back to his country. Would you read? Anybody? Dare enough? Brave enough? This is a great advice. His servant came up and spoke to him, say, and the prophet told you to do some great things. Would you not have done it? Maybe my master say something more difficult one. In order to, since you come here, your purpose to cure your lepers, you should do it. But since because my master only just said, you just go to the Jordan River 7 times, immerse your body. And is that because he's not come out to show himself to you? So you now, because of that, you're discouraged, because of your anger, so you're angry, so you want to go back? What kind of faith you brought here? What is your purpose? You come to the man of God. So kind of turning his heart to awakening his soul. And the verse 14, so he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of a man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. So here he dipped down himself in the 7 times of Jordan, and then he come out and truly the restored. Is that the power of water? No, it's the power of God. This power come from the submissions. He just submit what God says. So just dip himself and down 7 times and come up, and then the miracle happened in his body. How much he changed later on his attitude toward to God and man of God. Later on, this Naaman called the Elisha to what? Offer and give. When he offer and give, what he point himself to when he said for himself to the man of God. Yeah, the verse 15 it says, so please take a present from your servant now. Before he was an army, the generals. Now he's changed himself. He turned himself to be servant. He showed his humility. He understood. Now this, he went 7 times immersed in the Jordan River, come out, and his leprosy was healed. Realized, this is a true God. And then what the man of God says is true. So he respects the man of God. Why? How? Because his heart is turned to be humble in the sight of God and man of God. So here he himself claimed that, your servant, and your servant. Yes. Let's continue to look at verse 17. The Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 meals, the Lord of earth, for your servant will no more offer burnt offering nor will be sacrificed to other gods, but to the Lord. He realized there is a God, and the God in the Samaria is a true God, and he realized him. And also his attitude, look at the verse 17, if not, please let your servant at least be given the two meals, Lord of earth. He want to dig some, you know, soil, bring to the country. Because he's so thankful that the God to heal his lepers. So I think it's not the purpose for the as an idol, but for to carry this. What do you think? Carrying this dirt is for what purpose, do you think? Now every time when he look at this soil, he remember how he cured himself. It reminds him, I guess. We just interpret the good ways. Verse 19, and he said to him, "Go in peace." So he depart from him some distance. This miracle, a very famous one. So many times we brought up this one. No matter how many times we listen this miracle, how his lepers was healed. Because his humility and his submission to God, he was healed. Let's pray in silence.